This is RSBNB Update, episode 418, recorded Friday, June 21st, 2013. I'm a teapot. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. And I just glanced over to my right-hand side to just double-check that we are indeed recording this on go number one. So that makes me happier this week.
Yeah, because I wouldn't do this twice.
Yes, so I have to make double sure of that. So this week, Trekkie is here.
Uh-huh.
And we also got Brad.
Yay, the real bread.
Yes, that is
the only
that
bread
is true.
That matters.
The one known as Chief Snake and whatnot, of course. So let's get going, and we'll hear a bit about what you've been up to later on there. But this week is a very quiet RS week, and you know, in some ways that worked out to our advantage here, because I know how you feel about RS in general.
Yep. I'm going to let you guys do that section.
Yeah, and
while we'll I finish writing this email, you just talk up. I'll join you later.
Well, we'll of course need to pull some various opinions and whatnot. But first and foremost, this week is a week that contains many, many little fixes that the players have been requesting for quite some time. Some of them are very simple, while some of them do have the ability to eat some of your items. So This week is the tool belt update, first and foremost. So now you'll be able to slot things like the dragon hatchet and the dragon pickaxe on your tool belt, but with the caveat that once you do that, they will disappear and you will no longer be able to get them out. So keep that in mind if you want to do that. That's very important to remember with this. It's for that very reason that I recommend slotting only a rune hatchet or a rune pickaxe, just because those are so cheap and you don't want to lose anything with the name dragon in its name, should you want to sell it at some point later on in the future if you need funds. So that's what I did with that. What about you?
Me? I did the same thing. I just put a rune in for now. I don't... Gilded... I was tempted to try the gilded dragon pickaxe, but I was like, better not.
Yeah, you better not do that, because what do you have to do to get a gilded pickaxe?
Do the lava mine mini game thing to try and get the full suit.
Okay, all right. So that's the primary focus of this week's update. Lots of other little things, really not much worth going through, except maybe some of these combat ones that certain high level slayer targets have been made tougher and more aggressive. So like specters, living rock creatures, mutated Jadinkos, water fiends, and dust devils, and also brutal green dragons are now actually brutal. Dragons now vulnerable to bolts rather than arrows.
Yay!
So like, Who used arrows anyways? Arrows were going extinct, so no one's even going to use arrows now.
I was using my crystal bow.
Yeah, okay. What level is that?
Really? People would still use crystal bows.
Yeah, they're actually not too bad. What level is it equivalent to?
I want to say 60, probably.
Okay. And considering it, that's probably the third best bow in the game, next to the super expensive ones from Nex and whatnot. And considering the best arrow in the game is a dragon arrow, which is at level 60. So, I mean, second best arrow, actually, now that I think about it. So, I mean,
oh my God. Arrows have changed.
Yeah, you know, arrows have not changed. They're still stuck in the past.
But
a bunch of other things really have. And you know, it would take a good deal of time to bring you up to speed on this. And, you know,
it's not worth it.
No, I mean, things have changed even in the last 2 months that really we thought were solid back last December, but no, they weren't.
Yeah.
Another example, the circle bow now has a chance to drain the target's magic level on hit, which is what its pre-EOC special attack used to do, so that got reinstated down. So that's good. Seeing his special attacks disappeared in Evolution of Combat. Also, basic abilities are now thrown in when you're running Momentum. And now I think Trekkie's going to be happy about this one. The Knockout Aura now has a clearly defined effect, increasing hit chance on NPC targets with low life points.
Thank God. Maybe I haven't tested it out yet, but I'm so going to try it. I want to go Slayer.
Educate everyone as to what the problem with Knockout was.
Yeah, why is this exciting?
It doesn't work. Well, it didn't work, actually.
Well, what's it supposed to do?
The idea is that if your target is less than 10% health, it should become an instant kill when it activates. Problem is, even when it does activate, it doesn't do jack. You're better off not using another aura than using that, because at the time, it basically didn't... You had better off just naturally hitting that thing than actually having the effect do any decently good thing.
All right.
Dang.
The Kalphite King has been rebalanced to make him more challenging. Many of his attacks and summon creatures are much more deadly. And of course, with this, it's also now possible to deal more damage than before. So it should be interesting to see what happens to the Drygor weapons, which are level 90 weaponry.
Upgrading your multi-cannon to either the gold or royal version increases its cannonball capacity to 60 or 90. So more Dragon Ball. Oh, more Dragon Balls. Jeez, wrong show. More cannonballs. Shane actually knew what Dragon Balls were. That's actually funny.
It was an anime show that used to come on after Pokemon with a very annoying theme song.
I can't do it anymore.
All right.
Did anyone in your house watch that show, Shane?
Which?
Dragon Ball.
Or no. Dragon Ball Z? No. Does anyone watch it over there?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Okay. But those are really the only ones on this huge, expansive list that I want to talk about. Either of you guys see anything interesting on this one? On the list here that you want to mention?
If you die, leave a gravestone, and then logged out, you will still be prompted to on login that your gravestone was on a different world. Also be an option to log into that world to check if your gravestone is still active. Message will only appear twice per gravestone on login and will appear for up to 1 hour after it has spawned.
How long do gravestones last?
An hour.
Max.
Is that common for a gravestone to last an hour?
Yes.
That's a long time.
Yep.
A couple of them last like 2 minutes.
Yeah, mine lasts 5. But you can pay to have it upgraded. If you want.
You both have someone try and bless it.
Yes.
Oh, and this is a nice little good thing that can help. You can chat on the information clerk in the Varrock Museum for prompts on what you can do to gain any remaining kudos. Which is good.
Mm-hmm.
My good man.
I guess that's fine. I never had much of a problem doing that before.
I think that did confuse me from time to time. There's a lot of stuff in the, I don't know if it's different now, but there was a lot of stuff in that museum that, you know, if you missed one, you'd be like, oh, crap, like, what do I have to go back and do
now? The museum
now?
Is still the same. One of the few things that is.
No, I think it confused me at one point. But
and you need to get all of them for one of the Varrock Achievement Diary entries. Yeah,
I think it was because of that.
We're old school type people because we say Achievement Diary rather than Task Set. It's always going to be Achievement Diary for me.
Oh, is it not an Achievement Diary anymore?
No, they're just Task Sets.
Awkward. Okay, then.
Okay.
Then we also got the patch notes for the week. I'm not going to mention anything in here. Just, I guess, because nothing really jumps out at me. This one from the Order of Ascension. that the Ascension Signets are now protected on death. So that's good if you're looking forward to going down to that dungeon and you don't want to die with them, I guess. Let's see. The enhanced Excalibur has been restatted to be a level 72 offhand weapon. So that's once again on par with the Abyssal Whip, which is good because that's where it should be. Because it was pre EOC, it was on the order of having the same stats as the Whip. So that's good.
Really? Wow.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's right. Let's see, is there anything else here that needs to be mentioned? Makex interface now defaults to making one piece of player owned ports armor and defaults to superior versions. That's good.
Cool.
Yeah, that's all I got for this. Anything else from either of you on this one? On the patch notes?
I like the forum skin now.
Yeah. There's a apparently a bigger upgrade coming this year.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, there's probably not that much then.
Do, do, do.
Going once.
I'm guessing we're done.
Yeah, do, we're do, done with that do. One.
All beer barrels and the yes. Ascension, yes.
Yes, I mentioned that one already. I don't know where you were.
I told you where I was going.
Oh, where was that?
Open your eyes, Shane.
All right. Moving on from that, something a little bit more auditory to jumpstart our senses. You'll remember a couple weeks back, there was a competition for a remix of the RS theme song. So basically, they gave out the sheet music and said, here, remix this to however you want it to sound. And we got something that sounds a bit like Harry Potter, apparently. I'm going to play it right now. I hope I don't bust anyone's ears out. That's the first 1 minute or so of it. What'd you guys think?
It was quite loud.
So what?
What did you guys think?
That was very a cheerful song.
Yeah,
you know. It sounds like a Peter Pan thing as you're about to leap out the window, starts out kind of slow, and it's like, I'm flying!
You know, it... around the 1:10 mark, it really shifted tones into something else. That was interesting. I'm not sure what that's called in the musical sense. But the comments, and I kind of agree at the beginning, it kind of sounds like a Harry Potter type of thing, maybe. But I'm not sure what the second part sounds like.
I may be slightly biased because you just showed me that other one earlier, and I don't know what relation that has to this stuff, but this sounds a lot more like MIDI music. Like,
yes,
it's just
this is.
I mean, it probably is just all generated,
because this one was composed by a player, And yeah, the one I yeah. sent you earlier was actually composed by the Swedish Orchestra.
Yeah. So, like, compared to that, this sounds pretty crap. But it's well done for music and for a single person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was...
If this was turned into something that was composed by an orchestra, it would sound really good.
Yeah, that's right.
It would be something that they could use really easily.
Yeah, so, and this track, as it is going into the game.
Oh, really? Oh, that's quite good. That's cool as well. Like, how awesome would it be to be that guy who got his own music?
He won 50 squeal spins, 1,000 ring coins, and green cosmetic skin. But of course, the main prize being that his soundtrack is going to be in the game. And something I'm waiting to hear back on the results is I put together a competition entry for their interface design submissions. So I personally think mine's pretty good. So
Okay. So what are you going to hypothetically win?
Well, if I was to win that one, I would have my interface setup stored as a default option once RS3 comes out.
Ooh.
But anyways, aside from that, there are also a bunch of other ones that they thought were really good, and they put them together into a highlight reel. It's about 18 minutes long. Then there's also a medley of a bunch of the other top ones that were submitted. So if you want to listen to any of them, you can do that on the RS SoundClump. SoundCloud, not clown, god damn it. I don't know why I keep swapping cloud to clown. All right. Anyways, aside from that, we got two behind-the-scenes videos this week. The first one is for a transportation update. They're going to be adding an additional 7 lodestones to the world, so in all sorts of places, from the wilderness to the elven lands.
Ooh, elven land. Yay.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere. Kind of obsoleting teleports when you think about it. So,
did you say 7 more lodestones?
Yep.
I when I looked at this, I saw the name of the video is RuneScape BTS, 58 more lodestones. And that's what I was like, well, that's quite a lot, whatever this is. And then I realized it was behind the scenes number 58. More lodestones. So these are just like teleporting things? What
do
they do?
You know how the home teleport works? Basically, they added a whole bunch of different home teleport locations, free teleports that you can use whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. Although they're like slightly out of the way, but most of the time it's most people don't care.
Like there's one south of Iraq, north of Edgeville a bit, Port Sarum. Geez, where are the other ones? Berthorpe.
Yeah.
Lots so of places is there, like that.
I'm so behind. But is there no actual use to, you know how you could switch your home teleport when you changed?
Like, is there's no more use for that.
Yeah.
Because one of the lodestones is actually in the desert by the pyramid, and there's another up at Lunar Island as well.
Oh, okay. Right.
So there's no point in switching those around anymore. The only reason to use an actual
God damn it, why did I do desert treasure?
Is if you want to go somewhere specific. So say you want to go to the Grand Exchange directly or your house. Also, this week's RS3 video focuses on community management and basically goes through a bit of what the community management team does and ends with a hiring thing that if you're a RuneScape player and you like interacting with the community and you live in the UK, you might want to consider applying for a job with community management. So that's the BTS videos for the week.
Would you guys do that? If you lived in the UK?
No.
No. Well, that was quick. Tricky, would you?
No.
Oh, wow. You shot that down.
I wouldn't want to work community management.
Well, no,
hey,
you don't
want to work anywhere.
Community management?
It's for PR people.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And Shane's not a people person. He's a techno nerd person.
Yeah. And you have to admit, the people who do PR for RuneScape have got to be pretty weird themselves.
Oh, yeah, we've met some of them. I interact with them on a weekly basis.
Oh.
Yep.
Right, so I probably shouldn't be saying that then.
No. Like, they're all good people, but you are right that you need to be able to play RuneScape and you need to be able to interact with a community that is at times trying. So.
Yes.
Anyways, okay. That's it for the RS updates this week. Not really that much there. So we're going to go into the questions right now. We got two audio questions this week, so thank you to you guys for sending those in. The first one is from 101Duck1.
Hello, and good day to you, Shane, Trekkie, and special guest. 101Duck1 here again with an observation and question. During my adventures throughout RuneScape this week, I happened upon a small gem salesman on the west side of Falador. By virtue of a misclick, I inspected his wares to discover that he had no gems to sell whatsoever. This, of course, sort of made me think about how I really haven't even used a specialized shop, or any shop for that matter, since the Grand Exchange became so popular. I mean, I remember in the old days when people would congregate in not only banks, but also like general stores. Ever since the one-stop shop was introduced with the exchange, there's really no more use for these shops. Has this issue ever made itself evident to you guys? Do you think that Jagex will ever try to fix or to help out the obsoleted shops? What would your solution be to aid these poor businessless salesmen? Or do you think that they should just be eliminated altogether? Thanks to you guys again for another great show. I hope you guys have an awesome week.
All right. So... we just got a bit of a distraction in Skype. But we'll
I didn't listen to the question. So what? I have to ask. Was that public? The fact that it is the teapot episode?
No, we're gonna get to that later.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I just had a slight revelation behind the scenes here, but we can answer this question now.
Yes. So the little shops around RS. You are right in that they are fairly useless. Basically, these shops that don't stock anything, back in the olden days of when RS2 first came out and there was no Grand Exchange, the idea was that you would get a gem or two or three from a training run or something like that, and you didn't exactly need them. So you would just sell them to the gem store because that would give you a higher price than the general store would. So... notice the proximity of where the gem shop is. It's right next to the hole in the wall on the path to the Taverly dungeon. And in that dungeon exist dragons that drop gems. Also, monks that drop herbs and gems as well. So the idea is that on your run back from the bank, back in the olden days, you would take your gems there and drop them off at that store and make some money from them. Rather than trying to find a person to sell them to, because, you know, back in the olden days, as you said, that would take quite a good deal of time. Mm. So that is the point of specific shops like that, especially the ones that don't stock anything. And same goes for any kind of specialized shop out there. You used to be able to take these items you'd get while skilling or monster killing or whatever and sell them to those shops to make money. But, of course, with the Grand Exchange, there's no point in doing that anymore. And sometimes even the high elk price is better than the store price. So I agree with you. It'd be interesting to see what they could do with that. But given the way the market works, I don't think we'll be seeing anything like that happening in the future.
Time for them to change professions.
Yep, exactly. Do you guys remember after the free trade was removed and whatnot, stores like rune shops and whatnot would stock infinite supply?
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, so that was another era in RS stores, but before they went back to your own specific supply. So that's just another chapter of this story. So it would be nice to see something like that, but unfortunately, no, because we have little what are those things called that used to fix the gems to make them better?
A chisel?
Yes, yes. We have chisels on our tool belts, so we can chisel our gems right away and then sell them off or just use them. So there's no point to those anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm from the pre-tool belt era as well, so yep. I guess it's one of those things you wouldn't have been able to do right at the time, and you have to actually take time to do. Actually, well, I think even before tool belts and stuff, it took a while for them to even implement the chisel X or cut X. Yeah. You know, cut all the things in your inventory, oh, yeah. Even though it's fast to do anyway, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So, and
anyway,
as I said before, this is just one of so the many things that exist from the past of RS. So, yep. Thank you for that question. Hopefully, we answered that effectively. All right, moving on to the next one from Marumska.
Hello, Sneaky Shane, Temple Tricky, ooh, and Brad. How you doing? Marumska here. Just to re-ask my question from last week properly, what stance do you take when you go to the toilet to do a number one? I often see people doing the, what I call, the Superman stance, where they have both arms on their hips, like they just don't care. I find it hard to control if I do that. What I prefer to do is the Jedi lightsaber stance, where I have both my hands on the member and directing it. Anyway, this week, my RS question this week is, I was doing a Slayer task at Mithril Dragons the other day, and my spirit terror bird thinks he's some choice bro and attacks the Mithril Dragon and gets killed in 2 hits. Well, not 2, but pretty soon. Is there any way to stop that from happening? Or should I just use a different beast of burden? Anyway, talk to you next time. Barmska out.
I don't see the logic in answering this first question. That is not something that needs to be answered.
Tricky?
Chief, you want to take a stab at it, Chief?
Take a stab. That is what I do when I go to the toilet, yes. I don't feel the need to place both hands around my member, so to speak. I'm quite comfortable with the Superman pose. I don't know about you. I don't know. I can aim. Can you?
Oh, seriously?
What?
Dude, TMI.
What? Can you aim, Tricky? I'm assuming you can aim, but as in without aid of your hands.
Why are you asking me this?
Well, because Shane doesn't want to answer. Shane's clearly not going to answer this question. I'm thinking you're the next.
I used a horse stance.
The horse stance.
Well, I don't even want to know.
How does that work?
Look up any old martial art movie and you'll see it.
Oh, well, that makes sense because he's Asian.
What?
Yeah, Shane's not cultured enough to actually understand what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know what it means either.
I know, but...
Okay, neither of you want to answer this question.
Okay,
they
radar.
Both do the Superman pose, they just don't want to admit it.
No, radar.
All right. Radar? What?
Yeah.
What?
You know how at nighttime you need to go to the bathroom, but you know you turn on the lights, you'll end up like blinding yourself, so you kind of just kind of move your hips around until you hear water. I'm not the only one that's done that in the past.
Oh my dear. Oh my. You know.
Yeah, no, that's good. Good. Good.
You know, and coming from people that need glasses. I think, Trekkie, you wear glasses, right?
Yes.
And if it's the middle of the night, you know you're missing glasses, right, as well? So
I don't need it to aim about, you know.
Doesn't need them to do the radar
from me.
That's the idea of the radar, Shane.
We've all done it as a kid. We've all done it as a kid. Don't lie.
As a kid. Okay.
I bet Shane does the Captain Morgan.
I don't even know. I want to know what that is. That was a satisfying answer.
All right. Are you guys done with that question?
I don't know. Are we?
Did you want to... What? Was there something more? Is the radar something you only do some of the time? Well, what do you do when it's not dark, then? When you don't need to do the radar.
Captain Morgan?
What is the Captain Morgan?
Oh, Google it.
I will.
Oh, dear. I hear typing.
What? You think I wouldn't Google it? Wasn't me. Captain Morgan is a brand of rum produced by alcohol conglomerate Diageo? What does that have to do with anything?
I'll tell you when the show's over.
Is this the right Captain Morgan?
Yes, but I'll show you after the thing is over.
you'll show me? All right.
No, it's a... I'll show you, no worries.
Oh, my God. Trip. Oh, dear. Okay. Oh, my... That has taken a turn that we cannot turn back from. So,
oh, don't worry. It's
do you,
do it's
you get this, Shane? Do you, I don't...
No, I don't. And that's okay, what good. I'm concerned of, the fact he's going to show you.
I'm going to say, if you get this and I don't, I'm feeling very left out. What does a New Zealand... Captain Morgan's Family Restaurant, New Zealand? What? I'm assuming it's not that one.
No,
anyway.
I think you're off a bit, but...
No, it was the rum thing?
I don't know.
Okay, so the summoning... The spirit
yes,
terror bird.
The terror birdie. We this used to like those for farming, didn't we?
Yeah, a little bit. This reminds me of you know how in this is probably really, really different now, but in God Wars when I think there was for a while there was a kind of a thing where if someone, so of course there'd be the tank who was killing the boss, and then if someone else in your party had a summoned creature of some type out, then if it was attacking the thing, then the boss could suddenly turn away from you and start hitting everyone else because the summoned thing would take the focus off it or something.
Yeah,
and it would kind of screw up all the God Wars things. And
that probably still exists because summoning hasn't been touched since it came out.
Oh, okay, all right then. But I didn't think the terror birds actually did that. I didn't think they attacked things at all.
Yeah, they know, it's everything in RS is multi-combat now with Evolution of Combat, so they can.
Oh.
So when they go and attack that thing, this dragon, the terror
I still
birds
didn't think they attacked.
Yeah, they do.
Terror birds attack things though. Oh, okay. Have they always? What?
Yeah, they could. They could. Yeah.
Huh.
But the way it worked, Evolution of Combat came out, and everything had their hit points upgraded. You and I had our hit points upgraded. All the other NPCs did. The only things that did not get upgraded were the familiars.
Oh my God, really? What?
As a result, a
how can they do that?
That attacks and draws aggro from a creature like a dragon is going to get blasted in two hits.
That is bad. Although they were, to be fair, really high HP to start with, but
yeah.
But how can they just not update them and update everything else?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of the things that's going to be addressed at some point in the future with the summoning rework. So we're kind of waiting until then to see what happens. But I've actually seen this happen before, and it is really infuriating when you got like a war tortoise full of food and whatnot at the Glacier's, and you're planning on staying there for another 2 hours, and you end up having this thing die, and you lose all your inventory space, and you need to pick up what you can, and then you lose everything else. The only thing that I can really suggest that would fix this would be to keep pressing that call familiar button, because when you press the call familiar button, it calls the familiar back to be just behind you. So assuming it's not going to be, you're not being attacked from behind, that should work to keep the familiar out of danger for a while. But aside from that, there's really not much you can do.
That's so annoying, though. Unless you can, like, assign a hotkey to that button or something. Can you do
that
now?
Well, you could do that. But at the same time, once you do that, it's impossible to have a hotkey assigned for taking from the Beast of Burden.
Oh, right.
So.
Which, yeah, that's a bit annoying.
And, you know, the other thing is that if you ever go to something like Soul Wars and where, you know, you fight other people, I've used some of those geysers and everything else. They die faster than before. Like before,
they literally kill them. Yeah. Even the things that are meant for fighting would just suck, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm. Back then, you could actually do something decent, but
yeah.
All right. Thank you, Maremska, for those questions. We're still very disturbed at the first one. Okay. All right. If you want to send in an audio question like these guys did, you can send it in to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on the Google Voice, which is 571-572-2632. Look forward to hearing more of your audio questions. All right. The next one pertains to a favorite skill of mine and yours, farming. This question from Papro Hot. Shane, after a month since the new farming update, are there any of the new plants that you would recommend in a farming run? I am currently 92 farming. Well,
correct.
92 nice. Farming, you know, the best one that I think you can grow is the grapes. Not just for making the grape wine and then selling that for profit. But if you, seeing as you don't have that yet, the one that I would recommend that you definitely include if you are a herblore type person as well as the snapegrass. Because collecting snapegrass was always something that was tedious to do and took a great deal of time. And in the couple of snapegrass runs that I was able to get on the order of around 36 snapegrass from both allotments and one patch.
Nice.
So I'm a fan of the snapegrass.
That is so cool that you can grow that now. And the grapes.
So imagine this though, Shane. I'm 84 farming. What do you think I should do to get it up?
Hang on. I'm just pulling up the seeds. I don't have these new levels committed to memory yet. Just give me one moment to do that.
I thought you were a farmer.
I am, but I don't have the levels committed to memory because I'm level 99, so I don't need to remember all these things.
Of course.
Yeah. But I would say to stay away from the ones that allow you to get XP in the skills like the thieving, strength, and defense and agility, because it's really not worth it for the amount of time you have to put in to do that. I personally would much rather have a product at the end that I can use, namely the snapegrass. So that's what I would say to do for the allotments at that level. Let's see, and snapegrass seeds are level 80, so yes, you could do those. You could do those, Trekkie.
Which one? Snapegrass?
Snapegrass at level 80.
Ooh.
It's an allotment. You know, the sunchoke seeds really aren't that good because those are the ones that give strength XP. And like I said, I prefer to have a final product. Same thing goes for the fly traps at level 93. You get thieving XP, but once again, final product I'd much rather have. What you could do also incorporate into your farming runs, if you're interested in doing summoning later on, at the flower patch is the ruby harvest seed. And when you plant that, you'll get three ruby harvest butterflies that can be used towards creating one of the summoning creatures. So that's good as well.
A ruby harvest seed that
grows
you butterflies?
Yep.
What?
It's a flower.
Is it? Oh, what? I don't get it.
Yeah, so
what?
so you grow this flower,
and it turns into butterflies.
Yeah, when you harvest it, you get three butterflies at the end.
Why do you get butterflies from a flower?
I don't know. That's just the way it works.
What?
It's fairies trying to populate.
That's at level 88, the butterfly seed.
It's fairies.
Interesting.
Yep. There's also what's called the wishing well, which is at level 96. Basically, you need to insert a certain amount of money into it in order to harvest it. And there's a chance you'll lose money, but there's also a chance you'll gain money as well. So in a way, it's the gambling tree or gambling bush.
Nice.
But I'd say go with the grapevines, snapegrass, and ruby harvest if you were going to be including those. Now, you could do a wishing well here and there if you want to do that, but I personally wouldn't take the risk with the fact that you could lose half the stuff that you put into it. But that's just me. I base my farming off of produce and whatnot, so that's why I prefer those ones. There's also the reed seed, which gives you the swamp tar and potentially swamp toads as well. If you're wanting to build barker toads in summoning. So you can do that as well if you want. But try to stick to those three.
Okay. Thanks, Shane.
All right. You can read the next one.
Why?
Because.
Okay, this one is from Veteran. Hello, host and special guest. I'm halfway through going for a fire cave until someone in my clan informed me that a skill cape now has more better stats than a fire cape. My attempts failed to obtain one, but do you think that the fire cape should have better stats than a skill cape, as it makes getting one not worthwhile anymore? And a non-member related question, do any of you follow any TV shows? I for one used to have Netflix in order to follow foreign shows. I've particularly enjoying were Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad. I'm currently watching Dexter. Thanks.
Yes, B. Good man.
All right, we'll Dexter get to sucks. That in just a bit. We'll get to that in just a bit. But first, the cape. Yes.
30th of June. 30th of June. One more week. One more week, Shane.
All right. I just need 30 seconds to answer this one about the cape, then you can fill us in on what you're on about here. But it is entirely unfortunate, I agree, that the fire cape has been demoted like that. Fire cape gives a armor of 25 and a prayer bonus of 2 and only a 2.2 melee crit, whereas the skill capes give a 34 armor rating, 2 prayer bonus, and a 2 crit across the board. So it'll take the armor over the crit, I'm guessing. So, I mean, it's just really unfortunate that that's the case. This was obviously a conscious decision made with Evolution of Combat, and I guess if you want an endgame cape like that, you could go with the, what's it called?
Obsidian?
No, not the Obsidian, the Tarkar cape.
The Tarkar cape, yeah, that one. The one from the second monster we have turned in and fire cape in order to get
it. The Tarkar cowl. There we go. That's the one. Whereas that one does have better stats than a skill cape. So it is unfortunate to see the fire cape demoted like that, but its successor, the Tarkar, has better stats than the fire cape and the skill cape.
Mm-hmm. It's good to know about the skill cape. I didn't know that.
Would it be a good idea for them to just make it possible to kind of combine a fire cape with a skill cape if you have one, or like?
Well, the only difference between the two is the critical chance bonus. The skill cape is better at everything except for melee crit. But even then, it's only 0.6% extra crit chance. So, it depends what you're going for. I could see the fire cape if you're going for max crit, maybe. But, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm happy
so the
about
second...
that, or I would be okay. If I still played, because I don't even have a fire cape.
Yeah, so there you go. The skill cape is actually useful nowadays.
Makes me feel good about all the times I failed.
Apparently, that's really easy as well now.
Oh, God damn it. I don't even care.
Yeah, apparently, I believe Reed did that with these, like, what, 5 sharks and 1 pot using full Guthan.
I really did. I was just going to say, oh, Reed did it, so it must be pretty easy.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Follow TV shows. Yes.
She never do. Except Star Trek.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't really follow that many TV shows nowadays. I just find it hard to find anything decent that I enjoy that's on. I don't know if I mentioned this on the show before, but 24 is coming back next summer, so I'm waiting for that.
Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah.
Are they doing a movie or something? Oh.
No, it's they were going to do a movie, but now they're doing a condensed TV series in the summer to finish it off.
Yeah, I thought I heard something about a movie at some point, but did it actually need to be finished off?
Yes.
You know what's funny is what's the other one that I'm waiting for? Whose Line Is It Anyway to come back on? Should come back on maybe in a month or so. It's gonna be a nice little show to watch.
Is that a game show?
Improv show, really, but yeah.
Oh, I don't like improv.
A couple of shows like a lot of things, Shane. One thing that I would recommend you may want to take a look at if you get a chance, it's Burn Notice and White Collar. Good shows.
I have heard that White Collar is quite good, and Burn Notice actually as well.
Both are good. But yeah. The last couple of season or two hasn't been that great, but the beginning is awesome.
Yeah. What is White Collar like? Because I've been meaning to get into that specifically.
It's basically an FBI agent and a former art thief working together to solve art crimes and high white collar criminals.
Yeah.
And Burn Notice is basically MacGyver but on steroids. Or you, Mr. Dexter.
Well, Dexter actually is quite a big one for me. That's coming back on the 30th of June. I'm so excited.
Is that the final season? 1st of
July for me. But yes, yeah, final season of Dexter. I only started watching that this year, but I've watched all of it. I'm up to date now. It's so good. Can't wait for it to come back.
Yeah, you know that one. That one is something I do want to watch in the future. I saw a bit of it there, but
yep. Shane watched like the whole of season 2 with me.
Yeah, we did. Kind of awkward, and
skip the first one.
I found the the cloak and dagger notion, I guess, of a serial killer sitting in the public's eye, I guess, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, broad daylight. It's quite good. Some of those seasons are amazing.
I heard Merlin was decent, but I never bothered with it.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Yeah.
I've
watched. Oh, I was just gonna say I've got quite a few TV shows I'm into at the moment. I'm watching Chuck, which is finished, but I'm up to season 4 of that, and there are 5 seasons. I've also been watching Suits.
Oh, yeah,
I forgot. This year.
Futurama came back! Woo!
Is Chuck the one that Scott Bakula is in, the captain from Enterprise?
I haven't heard of him, but...
Or am I thinking of something else?
I don't know.
I thinking of something else.
Yeah, Suits is also amazing, though. Yeah, those have been my favorites lately. Breaking Bad is good too. I approve of that. Game of Thrones, I just don't understand why people watch that, but I haven't seen much.
So for the longest time, I thought it was about a game.
Well, it technically is.
What is?
It's a game to get the throne.
Yeah, that's about all I know of it. And the fact every episode, or every episode I've seen, there has been... homosexual relations and
really?
of some sort. And the last one I saw, someone was just like giving birth to a shadow or some crap. So I don't know.
This is Game of Thrones.
Yes, this is Game of Thrones.
HBO and rated R for a reason. Let's just put it that way.
But it's so probably Shane, just those few episodes that I've caught just put me off it. But I'm told it's pretty fantastic.
Each his own.
But yeah, Dexter is good. So is Breaking Bad.
Oh, if you like a little drama show, Borgia is pretty good too. Only problem with Borgia is that the first two episodes are like really dragging and boring. But once you get past those, like the first, once you get to the mid season, it's pretty interesting with all the cons and everything else that they're trying to do. All the cons and backstabbing.
Yeah. Anyway,
all right. We beat this thing to death. That's
30th of June, Dexter. Okay, question. The next one is from Barracuda X. Hey guys, been forgetting this question for the past three shows and finally got around to sending it in. My first question this week is more directed to Tricky. More than once when you go to talk about your week in RuneScape, Tricky, you mentioned buying Dragonstone and making money. You might have talked about this before. How do you make money by buying Dragonstones? Because all I know from the podcast is that you buy some and make money. Do you want to answer that?
Should I, Shane?
Yes. Yes, why? You should.
Or should I just direct him to listen to an old podcast?
No, we don't know which one it's in, so you can just...
okay, rule number one.
You can find it.
Rule number one, this method is very grand exchange dependent. The money you make or the money you lose very well depends on the price of the grand exchange. All right, number one, buy cut Dragonstones very, very cheap as you can get. Number two, make glories. Number three, enchant them. Number four, ? Number five, profit. You get the question mark one, don't you? Yeah, so basically the idea, usually depends on what's going on with the exchange. I try to buy Dragonstones, cut Dragonstones at a relatively cheap price. After you've made everything, you can easily get an extra 2 to 3K profit from each one. And it's usually I try to do it en masse. So with each 100, I can get roughly like 300K or so. The cost for Astros, Gold Bars, and Cosmics is about 1K. So as long as you're selling for more than 1K, you're still making money off of it. And it's good for training crafting because you are making Dragonstones. It's good for training magic because you're enchanting and stringing them. And and I found out later on, easier to do the Geyser. Geyser time is pretty amazing.
Geyser
it's worth it.
Just for reference right now, at charged, Glory sells for about 12.7K, and the Dragonstone is about 10.6. So you'd be making about 1,000 per, right?
Yeah, give or take. Even more if people get one to flog it.
So
more
how
than
many
one.
Do you do at a time then? Like 1,000 or 500?
Honestly, I'm a little paranoid. I do as soon as they get in, when I get the chance. Only time they literally stockpile up in my bank is if I'm just too busy to actually make them. So sometimes
I'll make them for you if that's the case.
Hell no! Why don't you make your own?
I'll give you 10% commission.
Why would I want 10% when you can get 100%?
I mean, you'll get 90%. I get 10%.
Why would I want to have only 90%?
Because it's saving you time where you can be making more profit.
No, it wouldn't.
Damn it. Thought that would work.
Like I said, it's very GE dependent. I got time. Remember, Shane, patience is a virtue, young Padawan. But, the best one I did was when they were crashing really, really hard. Like, really hard before EOC coming out, it was flogging all the stuff onto it. I was buying them for like dirt cheap. I was flipping them for almost 6K each. And that was really good. I was like, dang, I was making money. Hey, but you know what, though? What's up? Drew Glory Crab. Me. Yeah, so that's basically it. Buy cut Dragonstones, buy gold bars, buy Astros, buy Cosmics, and sell them. Make them and sell them.
All right. Part two.
Okay, on my skill account, I have 99 fletching and 99 woodcutting and 99 magic. How many 99s can I get with that 200 mil, including skills that cost something like mining and fishing, and how much would it take to get these? Thank you for the show.
I only have 99 fletching, 99 woodcutting, 99 mage. Hmm.
200 mil. You know, that's really hard to say. It totally depends on what you want to do. But I know for sure you could do farming and herblore with that, which are two of my favorite skills. Another thing you might want to look into towards spending on that, I don't know how much mining you're going to be doing, but smithing is one that costs lots, and so does crafting as well. So those are some other places you might want to put that. This is a very broad kind of question, so I'm not exactly sure what kind of answer we're looking for.
Is this more like how many, as in a maximum of how many skills could he get?
Yeah.
Only 200 mil?
The thing is, I don't know. I mean, I would need to run numbers on each of the skills, and I would need to know what the current starting levels are and everything like that. So that's why I think this question is maybe a little bit too broad. But you could, I don't know, maybe 3 to 4, depending on how you spend.
And just like, let's see. How much?
What are the most obvious cheap ones besides fletching, woodcutting, and magic?
Runecrafting. Oh, that you could buy.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming he doesn't want to spend a hell of a lot of time on them.
Well, what you can buy.
Construction? No. Well, you got fire making already.
You could do fire making.
Definitely be one of them. Yeah.
Construction is another possibility as well. Considering tea and pendants and crystal saw and whatnot, to reduce some of the costs there. Let's see what else.
Okay.
I mean, you can either buy a skill or you cannot buy a skill. Your crafting method of doing gold bracelets, for example, there shows how you can do crafting without spending too much money.
Farming, where you can do without spending a hell of a lot of money.
Exactly. I was running the numbers on that same maple pineapple method the other day, and that actually still works with herb farming.
Old Faithful?
Yep. That works. So, let's see, what else? Construction?
Yeah, construction would be very expensive without some...
Yeah, it would. So would herblore. Smithing, yes. Crafting.
I was
going to
say, how much is herblore now?
Oh, I don't know. It's stupidly expensive, more so than I ever thought it would be.
Yeah.
Let's see, does he have cooking? You could get cooking easily.
Yeah, but then if you're going for 99 fishing, that cooking kind of goes along with it anyway.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. I'd say look at either construction, crafting, smithing, or herblore to put money into. Because those ones are always going to cost the most. So if you have the funding, put it into one of the ones that's going to cost the most, and you don't want to train it by gathering your own materials like you would do with farming. So
yeah, a little bit broad though. Otherwise, give us some more parameters, like how much time you have as well.
Yeah, and starting levels as well.
Yeah,
like if you're level 60 for each one, it's gonna take a long time, and planning is quite some time. So
yeah, okie dokie. Last one.
All right, you can read that one since Tricky kind of hijacked it.
Scumbag Tricky. Okay, this is from X of Angmar X. What day this month will we know the skill of July?
Yes, so the skill of the month for July will be announced on the 24th of June. It's always announced a week before the 1st. So a simple way of doing it is that if a month has 30 days like June does, you just simply subtract 6 from it. So it's announced on the beginning of the 24th. And that's North American time.
Cool.
And welcome to RSBNB, actually. I noticed your user account was relatively new as of yesterday, so welcome to our forums.
If it's new as of yesterday, will he actually be able to participate in July?
That is a good question. Right. That might be a bit of a stumbling block because in order to participate in Skill of the Month, your account needs to be a month old. So, yeah, you'll be participating in August. I'm sorry about that, but that's one of the rules that we have. We used to have more rules, but we've since relaxed them a bit. So, yeah.
Have you rigged any Skills of the Month lately?
No, I have not. I have not.
Okay.
But people thought
whatever
I
you
did
say.
When, people
whatever
thought I
say.
Did when summoning came up 3 months within a 3 month time span came up in October 2012 and again in March 2013. So
yeah.
That one likes to come up quite often.
Good old random number generator you got going there, eh?
Yeah, and it's as best as we can get. So yeah. it looks random, actually.
Only slightly pseudo-random.
Not too long ago, we actually had the first strength skill of the month back in February.
Oh, nice.
So the actually second strength skill of the month since 2009. So 4 years it took for that one to come up again.
Wow.
All right. Moving on to tech news. This week, Facebook shows that it can't innovate. Facebook
Much
brought
like
out video.
Apple? Oh, ba-dum-bum.
No, what do you mean they can't innovate? Look at the new Mac Pro.
Direct contradiction to the Mac Pro.
Anyways, so Instagram is now getting video to kind of compete with Vine.
Okay.
Couldn't have seen that coming.
Yeah. It was inevitable, wasn't it?
Who runs Vine?
I think they're still private. I don't think they've
been okay. See, I kind of was originally under the impression that Vine was owned by Instagram. But yeah, I guess it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So with this video thing that Instagram is going to be able to do, you're going to be able to apply the same filters and whatnot like you normally would on Instagram for your videos. I saw one comment on Twitter today saying that, which one will I be using, Vine or Instagram? Simple answer, Instagram. I don't need to put my makeup on.
Funny.
Because it has filters?
Exactly.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
I guess if you're taking selfies, but
yeah, that's true. But Vine has the little loop thing without sound, whereas I don't know what the time limit on the Instagram videos is going to be. I don't have Instagram, so I'm unable to comment further on this. Maybe I should make one. Or
I think
Vine.
It's a kind of yeah.
I don't know. I know you posted some Instagram shots in the past. Have you gone back
way,
to it?
Like when I started, like first just wanted to see what it was good for. I think it's pretty useless now that Twitter has... Well, for one thing, Twitter has filters.
Yep.
And
yep.
Not that I use them. Also, my phone is good enough that it has a good enough camera that it just makes filters pretty redundant.
Also iOS 7's getting filters.
Oh, okay. It didn't happen before, or
no.
Do you mean
didn't.
As just part of the stock camera or
yeah, as part of the stock camera.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I really don't like filters.
Why? No, and that's what I say. Why would you want to use a filter when you're taking a photo with such a good camera? In 50 years are you gonna want a little 400 by 400 pixel shot from an 8 megapixel camera? I don't think so.
I also do really hate that about Instagram, the fact that it makes things square rather than portrait or landscape, whatever you take it in. Yeah, that's annoying. And just the fact that Twitter doesn't load the... Not that that's Instagram's fault anymore, but Twitter doesn't load the pictures in line.
Oh, yeah. Well, but they do load the Vine videos in line.
Oh, they do? Oh, wow.
Yep.
I genuinely haven't actually seen anyone post a Vine on Twitter, though, so...
Oh, okay.
I haven't.
Well, the difference is that...
Does anyone use Vine? Anyone... That we I should know? Care about?
No. No.
Okay. That's good. Cool story, Vine. Cool story, Instagram.
Oh, and also with the Instagram one, you'll be able to have video up to 15 seconds long compared to 6 on Vine.
Oh, okay.
So.
But, oh, well. Don't really care about that. Next one, Xbox Team does a 180.
Yes.
The one that probably a lot more people will care about.
Yeah, the Xbox 180 was being called this week.
Yeah.
So, were you guys both aware of the restrictions on the Xbox One?
Yeah. Who hasn't?
Yeah, it has been like everyone's got just one friend who posts about it, at least one friend who posts everything. All of the Xbox One updates.
All right.
Like, oh no, they're not going to be using DRM or the PS3, PS4, whatever it is, blah, 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 et cetera.
Yeah, so previously the Xbox One was going to need to have an always-on internet connection once every 24 hours in order to play games on it. They have since relented on that, so it'll work just like the 360 in that you don't need internet now. If you want to play a disc-based game. And the second one is the ability to trade in, lend, resell, gift, or rent disc-based games just like you do today. No limitations on using and sharing games. It'll work just like it does on the 360. And of course, you know, all this came from the huge amount of pressure that was put on by the people who were originally Xbox fanboys, I guess you could say, and then... decide they were going to swap to PS4, and Microsoft took note of that probably sooner rather than later, which is a good thing, I think.
So let me ask you one little question, Shay. You know the old saying, any publicity is good publicity? You think that they never had any of this stuff and just said it to get people talking about it?
What do you mean?
Think about it. For the past, 2-3 weeks, everyone's been talking about how Xbox is this, Xbox is that. And now suddenly, like, oh, we're going to reverse change everything back to the way it should be. You think people up there are really that stupid to think that people will not notice? Or the fact that they did this on purpose to get people talking about it, get free publicity, free advertisement from people?
I don't think it's the kind of publicity you want.
Well, think about this, though. Just by saying this, people are going to buy it. Not everyone's going to switch to PS4. You're still going to have all the Xbox fanboys still going to flock to it and everything else.
Yeah, you're right.
Whether you know, the whole Xbox One off over the voice chat will make a difference, that's a totally different thing. But, you know, maybe they never had any of these features. Or maybe they basically just did the stupid new cook idea.
So you're saying Microsoft shouldn't have said anything about this until it shipped?
No. Because it was being leaked out anyway. And remember, with E3 and everything else, they would end up saying what it's supposed to be able to do. Can you imagine the class action lawsuit? Suddenly go, hey, I can't play used games. Hey, when did you put the DRM? Hey, I never agreed to any terms and conditions. Yes, you did. The first page.
Yeah. Whoa, what was that?
I was closing the drawer.
Oh. All right. You know, I think it's good they did this, but I think they're still going to lose some people on principle, because I know there are people out there who will simply not change their mind, and the PS4 is still an enticing option. Because another thing that was brought up in one of our Skype chats many times is that the PS4 has the exclusive game titles, whereas Microsoft really doesn't have that many high-profile exclusives anymore. So...
Doesn't it?
I don't think so.
I don't really care about consoles.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Neither do I. So there's always going to be the market that buys them. So
I think it's kind of interesting. Like they're trying to make it really modern, and there's nothing wrong with bringing it up to speed with, like, because I mean that's how we kind of purchase games and things. We buy content. That's kind of already how it's done. And I was reading an article about this, about
Steam,
how, like,
Origin.
Yeah, with Steam and stuff like that. But even if you, for a computer or for a console, for anything, if you purchase a disc-based game rather than buying it online, and, you know, put your disc in the drive and you play the game, you're only buying the rights to play that game, and you're not actually technically buying the game itself or anything. So what they're doing is just kind of bringing the legalese up to speed with the current methods of, you know, game distribution and stuff. So,
I
think it's really not changing anything technically, I don't think, but because it's much more clearly defined, it's like, you know, people are obviously going to hate it. I think that they've just kind of gone about it the wrong way, and the people who are going to be loyal to consoles are not the people who are going to want all of the new methods of game distribution and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're just going to want to share their games with friends and not care about being restricted by anything.
And, you know, that's right. And the vast majority of these people who buy the consoles, this wouldn't have been a problem for, I don't think, at least. Specifically the internet connection and not being able to trade games. Because, like you said, we all do that on Steam, so it's not much of an issue. And another thing that you said about this is, this seems to be something that Microsoft is doing often, is that they're not understood what they mean. Like what they put out in terms of the press releases and the way they market things. Look at what happened with Windows 8.
It's kind of like they've got this fairly impressive vision, but they're just doing such a terrible job of implementing
executing.
It. Yeah, executing it. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Like Windows 8 could have been amazing, but it was plagued by marketing issues like Vista, and people didn't buy it because of that. When in reality, under the hood, Windows 8 is a pretty good operating system.
It's not too bad.
And another thing,
it's better than Windows 7. It's got taskbars on every monitor now. Finally! Yeah.
And another thing with that, Microsoft not executing, Apple executes for them. You and I were talking after iOS 7 came out, said that this is what Windows Phone would have looked like if Apple had designed Microsoft's product. Anyways. Okay.
Something like that, yeah. Speaking of which, Apple finally charts iOS fragmentation.
Which isn't really fragmented.
Yeah, well, or lack thereof. I looked at this actually earlier because you posted it on Facebook, and I was kind of like, yeah, but who couldn't have just seen that as being obvious anyway? It is pretty clear that the state of Android is awful in terms of versions. But in a way, it's not like that's exactly Google's fault. I mean, slightly, but they've got a whole different marketing model to Apple. But on the other hand, when you look at Google's own devices, like the Nexuses, then they get all the latest updates and they're actually kind of perfect. If you compare just the Nexuses to Apple's iPhones or iPods and pads and stuff like that, then it would probably actually be a lot more similar. You know, all of the Nexuses would be running the latest versions just as much as all the iPhones would be running the latest iOS.
Yeah, you're probably right.
On the other hand, I can see how it is kind of still Google's fault, and they should definitely be trying to improve the situation for all Android phones.
They could have had a stranglehold on it just like Apple did.
But then again, that's not their model, and I don't know. It's hard to say because it would be good if they did that.
Yeah, it would. It would make developers happy, and it would make things more enticing to the platform. Yeah. And as somebody who has a couple of iOS application ideas in his head, or mobile applications rather, this chart here is very appealing to me to be on iOS.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Not only because of the operating systems, but hardware as well.
Yeah. If I were making Android apps, I would make them for Ice Cream Sandwich and above, though. I would not care about any of the old versions before anymore, besides 4. So I guess that would be...
And Jelly Bean is the newest one. That's 4.2, right?
That's actually slightly ambiguous because there are two versions of Jelly Bean. There's 4.1 and 4.2.
Oh.
They both called Jelly Bean.
I see.
Yeah, so the latest one.
You see, You see the small segment out there that's on Eclair? That's what Patrick Kinkala is running on his still.
Yeah, that's depressing. the worst thing is they still sell phones running Froyo. Probably not Eclair anymore. I don't know about that. But and Gingerbread probably all the time, even more than Froyo.
Which one is Trekkie running here?
What? Running what?
What version of Android?
I don't know. Because I rooted it, and I don't know what version I'm running on. I rooted a thing, and I didn't do a good job of rooting it, so it's actually can't update itself, so I'm stuck with whatever it was before I rooted it. It's been like that for a while, but I'm happy with it.
Yeah.
So all right. Nothing.
Can I ask you a question, though? What my mum's phone, she's got my old Android phone at the moment, which is running Gingerbread 2.3.
Google it.
It's a pretty crap phone. Yeah, Android. And the battery is kind of dying on at the moment, so she needs a new one, and I need to find one for her. If you were and she doesn't want one like I've got, which is the Nexus, which is about $500 New Zealand. Half the price of an iPhone, of the latest iPhone. literally half the price. But she doesn't want one like that because she thinks it's too fancy. You got too many bells and whistles. She just wants something simple. What would you get your parents if you had to buy them a phone that was simple, kind of cheap, but...
An iPhone 4.
No.
But an iPhone 4 is the price of my Nexus. It's more. Oh. It's actually still about $500 in New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Parents. Here, I'll find a picture.
One of the Samsung ones? Like an S2, maybe?
But even that, I think, is $400 here. I mean, it's...
Okay, for a parent who doesn't want to deal with anything. Here we go. Parents. Here you go. That one. It's culture-proof.
Oh, set I don't your see location. I can't get into this. Select state.
Oh,
states.
You can't get into it? Okay. And I'll get her. This one.
Hold on. Bear with me.
There.
Samsung Gusto 2. What is that? I'm just going to look it up. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that looks legit.
Yep. Get on one of those. Comes to parents, get on one of those. You can't go wrong because all they have is just numbers. And that's it. That's all they need.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's
free!
You can get
iPhone 4S's for free now here. With a contract.
What, like a $50 a month contract or something?
Yeah.
Shane, some of us
but
do not
so
care for
much.
An
app. That's not free.
Yeah, you know, you're right. That is when you use so much less, actually, that is right. So.
See? As I told you, simple, regular, 10-button keypad phone.
Yeah, well, I don't know then. I don't know what to choose.
Yeah, it's hard. Anyway.
Actually, funny enough, my contract is about to be over. I have to renew. I'm trying to figure out what a new phone to get, too. And no, I am not getting Apple. She never listens.
Get a Nexus. Get a Nexus.
Nah.
Part of me, I have to admit, because my mom has an iPad now. Part of me wants to say that she should just get an iPhone, like an iPhone 4. But it costs more than a Nexus, and I can't justify that.
But it would integrate so nicely.
It's two generations old, and
how much is the iPad?
Oh, it's probably still like $800 or something ridiculous. The iPhone 5 is over $1,000.
Oh my!
New Zealand dollars.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm actually, unlike a lot of stupid things, I actually don't want a giant phone like the Nexus. I actually want something that will I can. Because the thing is, I'm the super paranoid type. I actually like to clipping things on my belt, so I always know it's there. Yeah. And it's also really handy for me when people call me and I have to mute it right away instead of trying to dig through my pocket. I just go, done. Like back in my youth, I used to have a freaking utility belt. I had my iPad. That's nice.
What?
I had my iPod Nano on one side, my phone on one side. I clipped my keys to one side. I literally had a freaking utility belt as I was walking down
the street. Do you have a pair of handcuffs as well?
Yeah, but that's between me and my ex-girlfriend.
Whoa.
Kidding.
Were they pink and fluffy?
No.
Oh, tricky. Badass.
Shane would never get it anyway.
No, I don't. So with that being said, we're going to move on since this kind of drifted into a discussion of mobile. But Skill of the Month update for June 2013. Adiv has maintained his linear trajectory in this mining Skill of the Month. So far, he's gained 8.8 million.
Wow,
XP.
I couldn't have seen that coming.
Yes, it is quite insane, isn't it?
4 million XP. Yeah, even I remember it.
Yeah. His excuse is that he can do it while programming.
What? How can you mine while I couldn't really do anything properly in RuneScape while programming, but mining takes effort, doesn't it? I mean, is that in...
The Living Rock Caverns. Remember those?
But even that, I couldn't just program.
Drop the ore.
Maybe I'm just...
And with EOC, when you start getting full, you just spam one and you're done.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know what kind of programming he's doing then.
I don't know.
Something fairly mindless.
Who knows?
And I see that we have no achievements of the week this week.
No, but I just want to give a quick mention to Flash and Parnassius for being second and third. We will give Flash an honorable mention at the end of the month for coming in second, seeing as the gap between first and second is so large. About 7 million XP.
Skill of the Month still, yes. Yeah, everyone's kind of given up.
Yeah. And we also have a little interesting bug with the system. I'm not sure how this crept in, but Lord Fast Wesley was able to enter the competition twice.
Hacker.
Good work, Shane.
Yep. It's never happened before.
Good work, Lord Past Wesley, for actually managing that.
Yeah. It's on my to-do list to figure out how that happened. And yes, we have no achievements of the week this week, so we'll just move on to the pick of the week. And do you have one for us?
No. Apart from Dexter, 30th of June. Suits, 16th of July, I think, something like that, middle of July. Also, Breaking Bad is coming back middle of July. All of those things, they are all my picks this week.
All right, so we'll just class
unless
that as a bunch of TV shows then. Unless
you got anything?
For what?
A pick of the week?
Pick of the week? No, not off the top of my head. I thought you guys were going to pick it before I got here. Okay.
Yeah, I thought he was going to have one as well, but that's okay. So we'll just call it as a collection of TV shows then.
I was asleep when you told me to pick something.
Let me try.
So.
Let's see what's good.
I had a nap.
That's all right.
It's so awkward. I fell asleep at 8 o'clock last night and woke up at midnight. What the hell are you supposed to do when that happens?
All right. We'll just put a collection of TV shows down as the pick of the week then. That works, since that was part of the question. So with that being said, we got just one more reminder for the spring survey that we're running. This will be the last week we mention it. But if you want to tell us what we're doing and what demographic you're in, that would be much appreciated. Tell us how long you like the show, that sort of thing, what you want to see more of, anything you can think of. This is your chance to express this all in a concise manner. We do this about once a year. Link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com.
How often do you listen to RSBNB Update?
Yes, that is the first question.
Overall, so, how satisfied are you with the content provided by RSBNB Update? That's so boring. Are you very dissatisfied, content pleased, or very pleased? I, for one, am very dissatisfied with the content provided by RSBNB Update. I'm going to fill out this anonymously so you don't know who submitted that.
All right. So you can fill it in. But please do try to be honest. Don't try to be funny with your survey results, because that skews them in a negative direction.
And then Shane will think that you are me. Or
someone else who has malicious intent.
Yes. Or think that I am a bastard because I didn't actually do this. But then if you do it, then you'll look like me. And then, anyway, what have we been doing, guys?
You first. What have you been doing?
I don't know. How long have I been away for? When was I last on the show?
When we were together.
Oh, no. Well, that wasn't even on an actual show, though. That was just, although I did explain what I was doing. I've been at uni working on crap. So this is my third year at university now, doing comp science in New Zealand. And so I've just finished my first semester, just had my last exam last week. And that was great fun, networking. Woo, happy, happy, joy, joy. I went into that exam. So I had a networking exam, right? I went into the exam on an internal mark of 100%. Although I haven't got my last assignment back, I'm fairly certain it will be a good mark as well. So 100% internally, the exam is worth 30% of the final mark. So I needed 55% in the exam, which is a C+, in order to get an A+ for the paper. So I'm pretty confident that I will be acing that paper. Otherwise, yeah, it's been a good semester, and I'm going to go home soon and see my lovely family.
That's always nice.
Yeah, that's what I've been up to. I've also been working on an online store for the place that I work for back home. And so that's been good. I've been making that in my free time, getting paid. Ooh. And watching loads and loads of Chuck instead of studying for stuff. It's been bad.
Well, it doesn't sound like you need to.
Oh, I did. I still studied a lot for my exams. The first one was hard.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, that one would be. That one would be. Yeah.
The second one was good because I studied for it. It was kind of hard as well, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
What have you guys been up to?
What about that picture you sent me of your racing?
So, oh, yeah. Well, that was my first free day after my last exam, of course. So I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and was like, what am I going to do with myself? Because I couldn't get back to sleep. And I was on the most screwed up sleeping pattern. I explained this to you guys before, but not to the rest of the public. To get to my last exam, it was at 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was on the complete opposite sleeping schedule, waking up at like 6 p.m. in the evening. And I was like, oh my God, there's no way I'm going to be able to wake up for this. So I pulled an all-nighter before the exam and tanked it through the next day. And so when I finally got to sleep, I wimped out and had a nap in the afternoon. And that kind of just completely screwed me up. And anyway, yeah, I woke up at 5 a.m. the next day. So I woke up really early and had this really long day of just doing absolutely nothing except sitting in bed and playing Need for Speed on my computer. And I set it up so that, because I just got a new graphics card a little while ago, I got a GTX 660, which you can attach lots of monitors to at once, and then you can use them all. Well, I was doing it just because I have four monitors and I wanted to use them with Linux, but didn't let me with my two graphics cards before, so I had to get one for it. Anyway, with this new one that I've got, you can play a game across three monitors, much like you've probably been able to do with SLI or with an ATI card for ages, but I haven't been able to before. So I set it up so that I could play Need for Speed, and then in my peripheral vision, it's just running across all three monitors. And it actually worked, and I was really, really shocked at how well it worked. Like, same frame rate as just using one monitor, almost.
I'd like to do something like that for Flight Sim.
Yeah, so unnecessary, by the way. If anything, it makes it harder to play the game just because it's really distracting. And the game is not completely made for it, so you'd have your heads-up display like on the left and the right on the side monitors. So you'd have to kind of look at each one individually if you wanted to see stuff. Oh, really annoying, but it's so cool. So I would probably play like that from now on just because I could. Yeah, it's nice having lots of monitors for no reason.
Mm-hmm. All right. What you been up to, Mr. T?
Mr. T? I played a fool. Okay, I did Dungeoneering. I got myself to 103, which is good. Did a little bit of magic and some thieving. The rest is just work. A lot of work. Ooh, okay. Hey, more Dragonstones came in. Sweet!
Yeah, all right. Dear. As for me this week, I got 90 crafting. Went from 88 to 90. So that one's done now. Only one thing left to do before RS3 comes out, and that's to get 99 Constitution. Then I'll be done my little to-do list of things that I want to do in RS, and we'll see what happens after that. So, I did Blue Dragon Hides because I had money to burn. And yeah, that would be a possibility, but I'm not sure what would happen to this if that was the case. So, we'll have to think about that one.
Got it tricky. Stuck doing the podcast.
What else did I do this week? Oh, and a bunch of stuff that I can't really talk about because it is technically under NDA.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yes. So
exciting.
Yeah, I think that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update then. We should explain that why this was the teapot episode.
All right.
So this is RSBNB Update 418. Now, for those of you guys out there who are observant, you'll notice that RSBNB Update 404 was not found. RSBNB Update 403 was forbidden, and RSBNB Update 410 was gone. So
did you actually do that with all those?
Yes, I did, with the titles. I was able to adjust the titles so that they would sit accordingly with the HTTP status codes. So RSBNB Update 418 is also a status code, and perhaps the most amusing status code that exists. It's called I'm a Teapot. RFC 2324. This code was defined in 1998 as one of the traditional IETF April Fool's jokes. In RFC 2324, hypertext, coffee pot, control, protocol and is not expected to be implemented by actual HTTP servers. So that is why this is the teapot episode. Oh, and we were also going to do, let's see, which was that one? We were also going to do 402 payment required, but we didn't want to make you guys pay for ours. That wouldn't have been right.
Yeah.
Anyways, so with that being said, we'll see you next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this, and have a good week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.